Part two of stewarding the gospel. Did everyone get one of these? Because I shouldn't have any extras. Children, did you get one? Oren, you get one. Who else needs one? Take that. And did you get one, Tally? Okay, you get one as well. You boys, in another year or two, you get a packet too. Okay. I have more, and this isn't a handout that you just take notes on. This is something that you take home and you keep for the year, and you work on it. So if you don't have one, you need to go home with one tonight, and we'll give you another one next year or any time in between. I'm going to encourage you to take this up, and this isn't the only thing, but it's a good thing, and we're going to handle this practically tonight. That's what I promised to do, and that's what we're going to do as we wrap up this idea of stewarding the gospel. We're not going to review last week. If you weren't here last week, well, you missed out, and there was some important information. I think it's recorded. I haven't got it online yet, but you could go back and look at that online here. Maybe I'll get that on there this week. It will be under the title, Stewarding the Gospel, Part 1. And I would encourage you, not because I was speaking, but because we covered some things that we're not going to cover tonight, and it's important. But we're going to look at what we commonly call the Great Commission. And I know this is a passage of Scripture that is very familiar. And who can tell me the context of this portion of Scripture? Show me by raising your hand. Who can tell me the context? Okay. Brian, I'm going to do this, so I'll have Brian do this. And the ladies over here that raised their hand are going, phew. All right. Tell us the context.
Last instructions before Jesus departed.
Give us a little more detail. Yes, you're right. How did he depart?
Ascended. Before his ascension.
Before his ascension. Yeah. Okay. Very good. And who did he say it to?
The disciples.
And was there anybody else hanging around?
Apostles. Well, no. No, just the disciples. Yeah.
There were others, but the disciples. Okay. So, that's the context. So, this is a commission that was given to the disciples and maybe some others in hearing. How many disciples? I'm not using that. 11. Yeah, that's right. There was one less. And you know the story behind that. Well, these are the words. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So we're going to start with this, go ye therefore. And we did cover this last week, but we'll mention it again quickly. The idea there is that's not really the command part of this statement. It's okay to formulate it the way that it's formulated here, but we miss the point if we emphasize the go as the command. This is a participle, and the idea is going, or as you are going. All right, so how many of you go day by day? I didn't say, you know, go like you used to, or, you know, those kinds of things. We all do, don't we? Okay, and obviously, the ones I'm speaking to tonight, you do, because you're here, and so you've gone from your home, or from somewhere, to this location tonight. And that's this going, all right? So this is not the command part. This is as you are going, or another way we can say this is as you live your life, okay? Now, who gave you life? Okay, this is a good Sunday school, you know, good Sunday school answer. God, yes, all right. We were having this conversation. Oh, it was because we were at the fairgrounds, and they were wanting us to sign a petition. And it was about, well, they didn't use the word sanctity of life, but we use that word, don't we? And we had a discussion as a family about about that because I didn't want the kids to sign on the dotted line if they, you know, didn't understand what they were signing. And we understand that God is the giver of life and he is also the taker. Yeah, and that's important. And we have a stewardship responsibility with our life, and we've covered that, okay? We have a stewardship responsibility also with the Great Commission or the gospel. And so the idea is, as you live your life, teach all nations. Now, the word teach there, that's interesting. We use this as the Great Commission verse. And when we think of the Great Commission, we think of evangelism, don't we? We think of declaring the gospel. All right, who can give us the gospel in just a couple of sentences, in a nutshell? Raise your hand. Yes, I'm coming to you with the microphone, so be prepared. Easton, I'm going to let you listen in on this one. Who's going to raise their hand? I need a hand raised. Don't feel like I'm pressuring you, but I am. I can tell you the gospel, but I want somebody else to tell us the gospel. You know it. I know you know it. Ray, that was kind of a half-hearted, yeah. I didn't know if you were scratching your lip or, okay.
Death, burial, and resurrection of Christ.
Death, burial, and resurrection
of Christ.
Christ. Okay. Do we need to know anything about sin?
For all have sinned, but
all
is
sinned.
That
okay?
Okay.
And so the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was necessary so that he could be our
Redeemer.
Redeemer. Okay, our Savior. Okay. All right. Now, that's it in a nutshell, isn't it? Okay. It's not difficult, and that is not the word that is used here. The gospel. Okay. There's a Greek word that's used or translated gospel, euangelion. It's actually a word that was used when a messenger was sent in advance of the returning armies with a good report that the victory had been won, okay? And he was going and proclaiming that. And that's a neat picture, isn't it? But that's not the words that's used here. This is the word that's used here is actually the word that we get disciple from. Okay, so as you are going, as you're living your life, make disciples of whom? All nations. Okay, say that in a different way. Everybody. Yeah, everybody. That's what it means. Because we're not talking about nations like a government. Okay, we're talking about the people of the nations or the people of the world. Everybody. So, as you go, as you live your life, make disciples of everybody. Now, who was this commission given to? There are some that teach that this is not appropriate to teach this as it applies to you and me right now, here, right at this moment. I don't know if you've ever heard anyone teach that. I don't think you've heard that taught from here. And it shouldn't be taught. I don't think that's the correct understanding. And part of the reason that I don't believe that's a correct understanding is that this is a task that is global. And how many of those individuals, let's just say it's limited to those individuals right there, was it really humanly possible for those 11 to go teach everybody in the world? No. So this was given to what was just about ready to be established. What was just about ready to be established? The church. Okay? Now the disciples were told to go and wait, right? They were to wait there, and they were waiting in that upper room, and the one who Jesus Christ promised before he ascended, okay, came. And the church was established on that day powerfully as the disciples spoke in tongues that they did not understand. And everybody, I'm thinking there were probably more than 11 tongues around at that day. Everybody, whether they understood what the disciples were saying because the disciples were speaking their language, or not, everybody understood. Okay, it was miraculous. It was a miraculous event. The day of Pentecost, incredible thing. And this is instruction for the church. Now, who makes up the church? The church is not this building. Okay, it's not all of the buildings that where the gospel is declared, you know, collectively in Kalispell or around the world, where's the church? Go like this. Yeah. No, you didn't do it. Go like this. Okay. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are part of the church. You are part of the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, the church, the called out ones. Okay? So as you live your life, we have the responsibility collectively to make disciples of everybody. Now, is everybody going to become a disciple of Jesus Christ? No. We're told that up front. Okay? Who is not going to become a disciple of Jesus Christ? Well, you can give me a Bible answer. Those who reject the gospel. Okay. Who are they? Non-believers. But who are they? What's their names? We don't know. And so where does that leave us? To share the gospel with everyone. Again, okay? And so, and then we have this baptizing them. And that's because baptism is essential for salvation. Nobody threw their hymnal at me. Okay, so you knew I was teasing. Oh, this is being recorded too. So I said that just to get a response from the people present. Clarification on the recording. No, that is not true. That is not why it's put here. Okay? Making disciples, that is someone who comes to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They've been removed by the power of the Holy Spirit from darkness into light. And by God's grace, they're becoming a Christian. Ooh. Now, I did mean to say that, and I will clarify that in just a moment. Because right now, they're a disciple. We have this all backwards today. We say when someone gets saved, they become a Christian. But in reality, they become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Where were Christians first called Christians? Antioch. Have you ever been to Antioch? I lived for 5 years in Antioch, Ohio. Okay, not the same Antioch, all right? Did you live in Antioch, Ohio? Oh, Antioch, Missouri. Okay, I was going to say I never saw you there. And it was a pretty small area. Antioch, yes. And why were they called Christians in Antioch? It was a term of derision. It wasn't said Christian, it was said Christian. Christ ones, little Christs, Christ-like. These people were not only disciples of Jesus Christ, but they had grown in the grace of God, and they were becoming, and noticeably becoming, Christ-like. Okay? And so today we kind of have it all backwards. Not that I'm fighting for words, but I want us to understand this portion of Scripture. Okay? And it has gotten confused today. So I'm not going to write a book here, you know, why we shouldn't say, you know, Christian, we should say disciple instead. Probably somebody has done that. So as we go, we make disciples of everyone. How do we do that? Well, we don't actually do it. It's the Holy Spirit that does that work. Our stewardship responsibility is to declare the gospel, okay? So we declare the gospel and the Holy Spirit makes disciples of some. And then there's this baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Well, that has to do, and we believe this strongly, that has to do with identifying with the body of Christ, and even more specifically than that, identifying with a local body of believers. Okay? So I believe it's very appropriate for us to read here a church member, or an active part of a local assembly. We have a lot of people today who are willing to be Christians, but they don't really want to be associated with a particular group of Christians. They don't want to be identified with a particular group of Christians. And maybe that's because they had bad dealings. Have you ever noticed that Christians can be ornery? Or maybe even downright rotten? You've heard me say what James Vernon McGee shared with that old lady that took forever to get down the aisle. When she finally got there, she said, so-and-so, how can so-and-so be a Christian? He is so mean, or I can't remember exactly how it went, but, you know, he was being ornery. And James Vernon McGee looked at her and said, ma'am, can you imagine what he'd be like if he didn't know Christ? Christians can be ornery. Maybe people don't want to identify with a local group of people because Christians have been sinful and ornery and mean. But that's they're taking something upon themselves that they have no business taking upon because God has given them instruction on it. God's spoken on it. He said, don't forsake the assembly. He doesn't say, don't forsake the assembly unless people are mean to you. Then you should forsake it. No. We need to realize that in this commission is the intention of a person becoming a disciple and becoming an active part of a local body of believers. And we identify physically, visibly, through baptism. Doesn't save us. Doesn't make us more saved. It identifies what has gone visibly, what has gone on invisibly, spiritually, in us. Okay, and we identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so as we go, as we live life, we share the gospel, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, disciples are made. And then they are brought into the local body of believers, the church, okay? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Well, what does that include? All the rest. Now, that's a lot, isn't there? I got the question tonight. Roger was giving me a hard time, and I just didn't really let him give me a hard time. I just answered his questions, but I know he was giving me a hard time. He said, now, well, maybe the first question wasn't a hard time. He said, are we going to do two quarters on the book of Proverbs or just one quarter? Because he's thinking, you know, a Sunday school quarter has 13 weeks, and there's 30, how many chapters in Proverbs? 31 chapters. And so 13 plus 13 equals 30. No, that doesn't, so we wouldn't even get it, you know. And I said, no, it's going to be, we're not going to cover all of the Proverbs. How many verses did you say there are in there? Now, did you look that up this afternoon, or did you already know that? Okay. 915 verses. All right. We're not going to cover all of the Proverbs in 13 weeks. Certainly not. But we will require that you memorize all of them. No, we're not going to do that either. Although that would be a valuable thing to pursue. Probably you'll need more than 13 weeks. Why was I bringing that up? Okay, but just the book of Proverbs. I mean, look at all the stuff that's there, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. It's all the rest of the stuff, okay? And so I believe this commission is separating things. There is the gospel message that's necessary for a person to respond to the convicting work of the Holy Spirit in order to be saved, to be moved from darkness to light, and they become a disciple. And then they need to become a Christian. They need to become Christ-like. And how do they become Christ-like? How do we become Christ-like? We begin to observe all that He's taught us. Okay? And lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the world. Do you know why He said that? Because the disciples, I think, understood what He was saying, and that's a... How in the world can we pull this off? Oh, well, it's not us, is it? It's Him through us. Okay? Now, are there any questions about the Great Commission? Did I say something tonight that left a question mark? No questions. You're not willing to admit there's a question. Okay, you can, if you have a question and you don't want to say... even into the end of the world? Go ahead.
I'm told that the word world means age. And it's what's the word I'm looking for? Dispensational thing.
It is, I believe. Oh, you must be one of those dispensationalists then. So am I. Oh, I will comment on it. So what does that do for us? It does refer to our stewardship responsibility. This is for, it's not in neon letters, but it could be, this is for a limited time. Does that make sense to you? So when should we be actively involved with this? Right now. And for Ray in particular, he needs to be involved with this right now because in 40 years, he's going to be dead. Was that enough years? Okay. Not the age of Methuselah, but and I'm not being prophetic here. I'm just saying Ray's got an expiration date, doesn't he? We don't know what it is. God does. He gave Ray life. He's going to take Ray's life when he's done with Ray. But just his physical life, I mean, he's going to live for eternity in glory. And the Lord may not return before Ray's departure in death. And so the age will still continue on. But at some point, this age of the Great Commission is going to come to an end. Okay? All right. Anything else? A question mark about? Or a comment you want to make? All right. Let's look at one more passage of Scripture. What do I have to do? I thought I had to hit enter. Oh, there. Okay. Be ready. This is part of our stewardship responsibility. Peter says it this way. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Now, remember, what does this word sanctify really mean? Separate. Separate your heart unto whom? God. And as we do that, then we separate ourselves from a lot of other stuff, don't we? Because a lot of that other stuff out there in the world, God has nothing to do with. And so if you're separated unto God, you're not going to be anywhere near any of that stuff, right? Okay? So that's the positive side of separation. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, it's interesting that that had to be put in there because, you know, if we are sanctifying our hearts to God, we shouldn't really struggle with that meekness and fear. And thankfully, I don't, you know, suffer with that. Oh, wait a minute. Okay. But we do, don't we? This is a problem. That's why it's brought up. Okay, we have nothing to be prideful of in this thing of stewarding the gospel. The only reason that we have been moved from darkness to light and understand the gospel is not because of me, or becomes of someone who was able to just really expound the scriptures about, you know, my sinfulness and a need for a Savior. It's God, specifically the Holy Spirit, doing this work in us and through us. Okay? But sanctify the Lord God in your heart. So Peter is telling us very clearly, hey, this gospel work has got to be lived, and it's got to be what? Declared. It's got to be lived and it's got to be declared. All right. So with that in mind, I want you to look again at the packets that I gave you. You just need to look at number one, or you can look at 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. They're all the same. But for my illustration on the screen, it's number one. What I'm going to encourage you to do starting here in September, you have a few days. You can start tomorrow if you want. That's just fine. You can start this evening after I get done talking, if you want to do that too. But September, and we'll revisit this again next September, okay? I want you to commit to filling out two of these. I'm not going to ask you verbally to commit tonight. This will be between you and the Lord, okay? But I want to challenge you to use at least two of those forms. I gave you six. Others suggest that it should be seven based on research. Maybe it's going to be 10 for you. I only have them 1 through 6. You'll have to write, you know, 7 through 10 on your own. A name of someone who does not identify as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Well, how do you know that they don't identify as a disciple of Jesus Christ? What are some things that may indicate that they are not a disciple? We don't know. But what are some things, some physical, visible things that might lead us to believe that this person may be a legitimate name to put on one of our papers? Language. Okay, I wasn't going to go there, but yeah. Okay, it could be language. Okay, a big one. Let me start us off. They don't attend church. They forsake the assembly. They really don't show any interest to hang around God's people. Okay? What else? Language. Lifestyles, okay, lifestyles. No open declaration that they accept Christ. Maybe you've shared the gospel and said, I don't want that. That's pretty cut and dry, isn't it? Okay, so you know what I mean. I want you to prayerfully consider at least two. I encourage you to do six or more, whatever. But there's going to be some work involved here. So before you go to 10, you know, let's look at the work that's going to be involved here, okay? And get their name, get their address, city. You understand all of that. And then I want you to, and maybe this will require a little work for you, because maybe you're thinking about someone you work with at work and you really don't know outside of work much about them. You don't really know what their hobbies or interests are, okay? How many of you have friends that have an interest in hunting? Wow, very few of us. I thought we'd have more. How many of you know have friends that need to know Christ the Savior that have sports? They're interested in sports, observing them or participating in them. Okay, all right. That's what we're talking about. Those kinds of earthly things. All right. And then there's a space there for you to take notes, and you may not fill that in until later. Then I want you to commit to praying for them. And this prayer chart is every day of the year. These individuals that you have, and I know we have a growing list of individuals on our church prayer sheet of people who need to know Christ as Savior. And maybe you don't get them prayed for every day, but the names that you put down on your sheets, I want you to make the commitment to praying for them each day. And this chart will just be a way for you to track that. Okay? Because we understand the importance of prayer and all these things, and we're not going to go review all of those things. But that is a tool that God has given us to use so that we can be effective fit vessels. Vessels? I don't know what a vessel is, but a vessel is what I meant to say in this gospel work, this gospel stewardship. All right. Then this is loving my neighbor, okay? We are not trying to con people into becoming disciples. And maybe we have some room for work on this to learn to love people. Maybe it comes natural for you to love people. Maybe it's easy to love people who are lovely, and you struggle with loving people that aren't so lovely. But we have this responsibility, and because we've been moved from darkness to light, because we've become a new creature in Christ, and those old things are passing away, we now have the ability to love our neighbor. And so I'm asking you to make a commitment this next year to touch the lives of the names that you've put on your papers seven times. Seven times, okay? Maybe it will be a meal. Maybe it will just be dessert, a party of some sort. You're having a birthday party in your family and you invite the person over to join you. It doesn't have to be an extra thing that you're making. It's just as you are going, as you're living life, okay? And then there's some other things there and some spaces for you to write down. I'd like you to track it. You can take them donuts. It really has to do with these particular things has to do with spending more than just a moment. Okay, it's spending a half hour or an hour. You have to eat the donuts with them if you take them donuts, yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, there are other touch points where they're fleeting, but look, try to get, of your seven, your committed seven touches with the names that you have, try to get one of these in the course of the year. Now, you can do more, okay? But if we'll commit by God's grace and His strength to do this for the names that the Holy Spirit puts upon our heart to put down, I'm looking forward to talking about this next September, okay? All right, the next section. I offer to provide my friend, this will be another touch point, with transportation. Maybe their car's broke down and they need a ride, okay? Maybe they're ill and the family needs a meal and you can take a meal. House cleaning, again, they're ill or something happens and they can't get around. They need their house cleaned. And of course, it depends on who they are and how close of a friend you are with projects or other things like this. And some of these take a little more time commitment, but boy, they'll be meaningful. Okay. And this is just practical ways that we love our neighbors. I sent my friend. Here's those fleeting moment touch points, okay? I sent my friend a card or an email or a Facebook personal message. Not, you know, not in general, but I mean specifically to the person, okay? On some of these things, their birthday or their anniversary, or maybe someone died in their family, their extended family. If they died, you probably don't need to send a card. So death up there is not them, the friend. It's the extended family of the friend. Okay? Any questions so far? What I'm asking you to commit to is 7 touches from September of 2019 to September of 2020 or 2020. Okay, I haven't decided yet.
This first part here, name, address, phone number, email, birthday, employment, hobbies, that kind of thing, that really helps me because I'm not a yakker or a talker. But when I meet them, when I see them, I can begin to gather that information. It gives me something to talk about.
Now, let me just make a recommendation here. You know, and this is for every personality type, for every spiritual giftedness or not, you know. I mean, this is for everybody. Typically, we have evangelism presented to us from 2 different families or thoughts. Lifestyle evangelism, which, fine. But it's more than, Peter made that clear. We need to live it, and we need to proclaim it. So it's more than just living it, although we must live it. It's proclaiming it. So there's lifestyle evangelism, and then what's the other? Butthole or confrontational evangelism, okay? You just nail them right between the eyes. How many of you are really comfortable with confrontational evangelism? I mean, you just love to nail somebody right between the eyes. You know, Al hands out a lot of gospel tracts, but Al is not comfortable in nailing somebody between the eyes, confrontational evangelism, okay? And there are some preachers that say, hey, if you don't do it this way, then you're not right with God. Well, that's baloney. We weren't given the how-to. We were just told that's a stewardship responsibility. Use your head as you're going through life. Live it and proclaim it. Okay? And so this methodology here is just very old. It's that this is just something to keep us accountable and to really purposefully steward the gospel. Okay? All right. Anything else before we go on? We have 3 minutes left.
Well, that Peter portion that you had up there a few minutes ago is a real help to me because our lives ought to stimulate questions on their part. And so I'm not confronting, I'm responding.
That's right. Absolutely. All right, 3 hearings. What I'm asking for you to do is to commit to purposefully share the gospel. Not all of Scripture, okay, but the gospel, in a nutshell, to your friend or your friends that you've chosen for this next year, okay? Maybe you're going to do it through sharing a testimony or a tract or a book. Make sure you've read the tract or book before you give it to them so the gospel is clearly and correctly presented. Maybe you're going to invite them to an evangelistic service. You see, who was the commission given to? God's people collectively, and amongst this group, all the spiritual gifts probably are covered. You don't have them all, okay? In this group, probably all the temperaments are covered, okay? So we help one another, and we use one another correctly, okay, in this work of stewarding the gospel, okay? So maybe you invite them over you could do 2 things at once. You know, you invite them over for dessert and a gospel video. But I'd recommend, I didn't tell you what I wouldn't, when you're collecting your information, Pastor, I wouldn't recommend taking your form and say, okay, what is your name? Yeah. So I wouldn't recommend that. They're going to be like, what in the world? Yeah. So you might have to find it out, you know, bit by bit, and that's good. Okay. This is just my thoughts on it. I wouldn't invite them over to dessert and then just nail them between the eyes with a gospel video. I'd say, hey, I'd love to have you over for dessert. Could you come over Friday? And then I have a video that shares the gospel, which I'm so thankful I've come to understand. And I'd love to have the opportunity to share that with you. Okay. They may say no. That's fine. Say, well, then come on over for dessert and we'll forget about the video. You know what you might find out is they might come over for dessert and say, hey, let's watch that video. Okay. We're not trying to sneak something. We're not trying to, you know, the lifestyle evangelism, it's kind of like a backdoor thing. We kind of sneak in and then we just kind of wait to pounce, you know. No. As you are going is the formula that Scripture gives us. So commit to three gospel here that you present the gospel, you proclaim the gospel. Maybe you do it individually, or you set up the scenario so that it gets done. Okay, and then this is just to help you chart where your friend is at. Okay, it's not necessarily in this order. It typically is this way. We go down this side and then we go down this side. Okay, we've got believes in God. Can you effectively proclaim the gospel to an individual that believes there is no God? No. Should you try? Sure. Yeah. Okay. But really, they're going to have to believe in God. And I'd recommend for this year, you start with, if you put someone's name down and they reject believing in God at all, then just say, well, Lord, I'm going to commit to praying for them, but I'm going to write another name down I'm going to work on. And I think that would be a good thing to do. Believes they're under God and believes they're a sinner. They need a Savior, that Jesus Christ alone is the Savior. Understands repentance, accepts Christ as Savior. And then they become a disciple. Okay, this is their pre-disciple days. They become a disciple, and then this is they're becoming a Christian. They're becoming a Christian or Christ-like. Okay, does that make sense to you? Okay, so that'll help you. Kind of track. No, don't share that with your friend, okay? This is just for you to be able to, yeah. And you might end up, you might, especially in this side, they may not be willing to be baptized because they're just embarrassed for a while. I mean, maybe they begin to faithfully attend church before they actually follow the Lord and believers' baptism. Okay, I mean, it could be, and that's fine. Oh, no, I'm sorry, you can't start attending regularly. You haven't been baptized yet. No, that's not what this chart is for. Okay, it's just so that you can track their spiritual progress. Okay, all right, let's go on. Oh, that was that the end? That must have been the end. No, but I don't know if that's true or not. Yeah, let me see if I can go previous. Yeah, okay, that's all I put on there. Okay, all right, then the rest of it is then family notes. There's a place for their spouse. And then there's a place for their children. Maybe the children are still in the home. Maybe they are not. Okay. Now, the last page in your packet is an extra page if there's more than three children in the home, okay, or three children associated. And I have extras of those, so if you need those, they'll be on the back table and you can grab an extra one. If you need any more of these forms, I'll be glad to have Janice print those off for you as you need them. And we're going to make them available. And then I have two other things to ask you to commit to. This is part of being heeding what Peter told us. And that is this. And I gave you this challenge a while ago. I can't remember exactly when and what the context was. And maybe some of you have already done this. But if you have not already written out your testimony on a piece of paper or typed it out on the computer or whatever. I mean, but you consciously thought through it and you got it down somehow. Maybe you chiseled it, you know, in stone or something. Whatever. Okay. If you have not done that yet, I'd like for you to get that done before September ends, okay? And then after you get it down, I want you to go back through it. And this isn't lying, okay, but it's very important. Your testimony is cool. You know, it's neat to hear your story. But that's not what's significant. That's not what saves people. That's not what God's promise is attached to. What's God's promise attached to when it comes to this thing of salvation? His word, okay? That's what he has promised to bless. So go back through your story and put some scripture in there, okay? It fits very good. And maybe you didn't know the scripture. Maybe someone shared it with you, but you didn't know it. And maybe you didn't even understand all that it was saying at the time that you accepted Christ as your Savior and became a disciple. But now you do. And that's what they need to hear. Okay, and they need to hear how that applied to your life. I mean, I'm not diminishing the value of your personal story, your testimony. Write your testimony out. Go back over and plug appropriate scriptures. It needs to be your own words. It needs to be conversational. Because then you're going to look at it. And not necessarily that you memorize it. I mean, if I say memorize, I might lose half of you, okay? But you become very familiar with it. So you're always ready. You're always ready. Okay? And that'll help a lot, especially if you're a little more shy about these kinds of things. Okay? Speaking about these personal things to other people. Okay? And then I'd like to have the opportunity for you to share your gospel testimony with me over this course of this year. Okay? And then I'm going to, throughout the year, give you an opportunity. I won't make you do it. I'm going to give you an opportunity to share your testimony publicly, maybe in a service or maybe at a special activity. Okay, and I'm going to be keeping a list of people who are willing to do that. Okay, and I think this is just good practice, and I think it'll be helpful. Okay, so make a commitment to getting your testimony written out and plugging in the appropriate scriptures. And then, I see this differently, and maybe I shouldn't, I don't know. And maybe you kind of do it with the testimony and the scripture that's added to it. But I'd like for you, in your own words, to write down, or type down, whatever. My son always says, type down. So I say, type down. Type out the gospel, apart from your story, what the gospel is in your own words. Not how Pastor John says it, not how Ray said it, you know, how you say it, and review it and reflect on it. And, you know, if you would, commit it to memory. But it needs to be in your own words so that you're ready always to give a reason of the hope that lies within you. All right, seven touches, at least two names. And with those two names, seven touches from September to September of next year, three hearings, and you can incorporate the body of believers that you actively participate with, okay, in that. Pray for them daily. Have your testimony written out and filled with scripture, and your gospel presentation, being able to present the gospel clearly. Any questions about any of that? Okay, we can leave this stewarding series, you know, in theory. But I wanted to end it in something that was really tangible. Because we can all say throughout the course of this stewarding series, yeah, that's right, and I have room for work there. But it's so easy to just, you know, Monday rolls around and we get busy going, and we don't really work on those things. And so this is just a real tangible way that we can see. All right, one final thing, and I know I'm 10 minutes over. I wasn't going to go over tonight. I'd like for you to have, and I'm not a big fan of this, Pastor might hit me when I say this. I'd like for you to have an accountability partner on this. Now, for married couples, that makes sense. You know, Roger can be Donna's and Donna can be Roger's. But let's just say, maybe Roger says, no way, I'm not going to do that with Donna. You know, I'm not going to let her be my accountability. Pastor John, will you be my accountability partner? Well, probably not. I'll probably tell you to have somebody else do it. But have someone. Okay, obviously, if you don't have a husband or wife or a dad or a mom, you know, you need someone else. Well, look around. Okay? Find someone who would be willing to ask you each month, how's it going? Have you remembered to pray for your names, your friends, daily? Have you gotten any touches or hearings in yet? And you do the same for them. Okay, I think that will be helpful as well, as we just encourage one another. We provoke one another to love and good works and stewarding responsibilities that God has given us. Lord, we thank you for this local body of believers that we are privileged to participate in gospel ministry with. And we thank you for our extended fellowship in our sister churches. And then in our missionaries, and on we could go through every gospel preaching, Bible-believing individual. But Lord, help us to recognize our first priority in those that we assemble with together. Help us to love one another and to help one another love our neighbors for your honor and glory and for our good. Help us to be the stewards that you've called us and enabled us to be. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.